Thank you. That is a great promise, isn't it? Our lives are in God's hands. I can't think of anybody else's hands I'd want to be in, do you? I don't want to be in the hands of my enemy, do you? Oh, there it is, Tim. It's playing now, buddy. Acts chapter 2, first 12 verses. I realized something last evening when I was working through this that I talked about preaching through 12 verses. By the end of the third verse, I'd already covered 3 pages of notes, and you guys were in trouble. Well, that'd be like triple overtime in verses 1, 2, and 3. I'm thinking, oh, man. Well, I hope they brought a lunch. And then I thought, well, maybe this is supposed to be a little bit of a series. Does that make sense? The topic's too serious just to cram it all in one setting, so I think we're going to be here for a little bit about this Pentecost and what it means. It probably is the most influential event in the life of the church. It was the birthing of a church, and I thought the more we know about it, maybe the better we'll be. Does that make sense? So I don't know when we'll be done, because I thought I'd be done in one day, but I didn't even get halfway through my 3 pages of notes at the 8:30 service, so I have no idea how long this is going to be. So bring a lunch, a blanket, a pillow, whatever you have need of, and we'll see how long we're going to be into this Acts chapter 2. It's kind of an amazing process. Let me read these verses, refresh your memory. It's one thing about the Bible, it's the same. It's been around for several thousand years. Even the King James Bible has been around for 402 years now. It was printed in 1611. This is now 2013. My math is right. That's 402 years old. The King James Version is, but we have the Greek history and the Torah and others that are older than that. Moses wrote it probably about year 2300 BC. That's a 4,000-year-old book, and we're still reading it and studying it, and it is accurate even today. Isn't that amazing? My notes that I leave on my desk aren't even good tomorrow. Any of you have some of them? Call Denise, she needs a ride. Forgot about that one, that's too late. All right? Feed the rabbit, that's too late. All right? Pick up the eggs from the chickens, that's too late. All right, but this word is still good for us even today. Verse 1, chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Pamphylia, Egypt, the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" I just thought that was appropriate, that I can't even read English, and we're talking about all the different languages that are spoken around the world. Isn't it an amazing thought? God is the only one who helps us to be understood at all. The Tower of Babel was a time back in before we before I was born. If you think I look that old, it was long before I was born. It literally means confusion. The Greek form of Babel is Babylon, and it simply means the gate of God. They have the Babylons have a history as ancient as 2300 BC. And we see that man's plans back in that time, from according to Genesis 11:4, they said, "Come and let us build ourselves a city, a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth." So they called its name Babel. We still talk about babbling, don't we? We've heard that. Maybe some of you heard Landon a minute ago. That's maybe what we'd be talking about. Did you hear that kid babbling today? Well, it's pretty appropriate what we're talking about. Babbling means it's confusion. You don't understand it, or lack of understanding. And so from that time, when the Lord confused the language, according as it says here in Genesis chapter 11, verse 9, the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and the Lord scattered them abroad. They tell me that 7 miles southwest of a town called Hillah, in a place of Iraq, which is modern Babylon, 6 miles just southeast, or 6 miles from the Euphrates, is a broken ruins. And they say this ruins, the circumference of it is 2,300 feet. And it rises from the floor there in that place. It suddenly rises to 235 feet above the desert plain. These are ruins that have been there. Some have debated what they are, but for me, it could be possibly the ruins of the Tower of Babel. Others are saying, oh no, that was a much later design, and it probably was a temple that was built there. But I'm still amazed that they spent all that time and energy so long ago, and it has no benefit to them nor us today. We don't even understand what they are trying to do. So it really is a point of confusion, isn't it? Aren't you discouraged? It's kind of like me in art class. All my hard work, the teacher doesn't even know what it is. I still have to tell her what it is. Yeah, it just doesn't work. So I don't do much artwork anymore. Every once in a while, I think I want to try to draw a picture. Even the kids in the Midler class look at me and, what's that? Pretty good indicator I'm not the artist in our family, right? The prophet Joel was informed about the day of Pentecost. God had a plan after there was confusion on the planet, when men could not understand each other. And I believe that the first step of understanding each other is to have a relationship with God, who can help us in our own understanding. Do not lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him. He will direct your path. It's a good thing to know that God can help you to be where you need to be, and you get responses like, how did you know? Instead of, where were you? Which would you rather be? How did you know? That's the understanding God wants to give us. The prophet Joel says, it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days. So the prophet Joel helps us understand that God has a way to bless you, to help you, to make you a blessing in this world. Moses writes these words to the men who were in slavery to sin, that they could become priests in a holy nation. You shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. This promise of God, made about 1312 BC, if my calculations are correct. So the year 1312 years before Christ was born, and then he lived his life, and then came the day of Pentecost. So 1,000 years, if you would let me round it off, 1,000 years before this, there was a promise made. And 1,000 years before that, God had a plan, even at the Tower of Babel when people were confused. God knows how to speak so men can understand. And that brings us to the day of Pentecost. When it had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. This is 50 days after the Passover. This was instituted by Moses in Leviticus. In Leviticus 23, he says, "You will count off 50 days until the day after the seventh Sabbath." So 7 Sabbaths plus 1 day, the first day of the week. "Then you must present a new grain offering to the Lord, and it was to be 2 loaves of bread." We know that God has already prepared our offering for this day of Pentecost. It was the bread of life. And he doesn't want us to bring it. He carried that to us. The shadow of Pentecost was God's blessing upon men, that the bread of life could be within us. We know God has prepared this offering for us. And God always uses sacred time to bless his people. But now, because of his presence, every day is sacred. This is a blessed day. This is a red letter day on our calendar because it's the day the Lord has made. This is the day. We can be excited about the day because he is with us. The first bundle of harvest, the first fruit, our gift to God is to receive the bread of life. I need to tell you that this is more than our abilities and our possessions being given to God. This is his power working in our lives. So now God uses every appointment of every day for his honor and his glory, and he makes us priests by allowing us to minister to someone, many, on every day. You just think you're going to work. You just think you're sitting at the doctor's office. You just think you're waiting online somewhere. But what we know is the first fruits is what we can give to God. 1 Corinthians, it says, But now Christ is risen from the dead. He has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. The festival of first fruits has been transformed because Christ has been risen from the dead. Not only that, but his truth, it is of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creature. So the first Pentecost was very special. It was when the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt. I was not there. But I need to share this story with you that is recorded what Moses wrote. He was an eyewitness. "Then it came to pass on the third day in the morning, there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain. The sound of the trumpet was very loud, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God. They stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire." There's a word that connects us to the Pentecost we're talking about in the early church. "Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked." There was a mighty rushing wind, it says, on the first day of Pentecost that we understand. And the people were shaken. They were called to assembly. There was not a trumpet that was heard, but it was a mighty wind that was blowing, assembling the people. The first Pentecost, God used a pile of dust called Mount Sinai to shake and quake in his presence. On this Pentecost, God puts his spirit upon man dust. Now we are the ones who are touched by his presence. Jesus said these words, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, even to the end of the earth." God wants us to be a witness of his power. In order for that power to be a present and a resident part of our lives, he is going to have to do something to us. Moses put these words down, and the Lord said, "Behold, I come to you in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you and believe you forever." A witness of God speaks the truth in love. What we speak in love, people believe it because the power of God is demonstrated in our lives. The reason you're listening to me today is because of God's presence. Again, without his help, you heard me, I can't even read what's put in front of me. But the power of God helps us to speak the words of truth and invites you to participate with him. A witness of God is someone that people can believe that God is saying what I am saying when you hear me say it. There are people in this world, you can't believe them. You agree? I'm not going to say anybody's name. I'm not going to tell you that there are guarantees that are written that have no value. You would be better off to save the paper that they were written on, because they mean nothing. They're just an attempt to sell you something because the product is worthless, because they have no scruples. They don't have a problem giving you a piece of paper that means nothing too. Does that make sense? Yeah, but God has a different process. He makes a promise and he keeps his promise. He says he will bless you. He will bless you. He has dates assigned, and he has opportunities to help us. Acts chapter 2, verse 2. "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting." Remember the timeline I tried to talk to you about, that there was a Babylon 2,300 years ago before Christ, 2,300 BC, that Moses probably wrote this scripture in Exodus a year 1312, and we fast forward to come to today. We're about 1,976 years ahead of that. All them numbers. Now, I'm thinking, all those years, we're talking probably over 3,000 years, if you'll let me round it off. It's over 3,000 years, and people are talking about suddenly. Is this an amazing word to you? Suddenly. It's like a child suddenly cleaning their room. How many times have you told them to do that? How many times have you asked? How many opportunities had they had? And I'm thinking about this. Really? Suddenly? You got to understand how the Holy Spirit showed up. He arrived like a freight train, maybe a tornado, a holy tornado, that a loud twister with the windows shaking. You've been through hurricanes. We've heard those stories. Have you seen what happened in Texas recently? We lived in a place called Texarkana. They thought it was on the border of Texas, Arkansas, and Louisiana, so they called it Texarkana. They missed by about 30 miles. They just kind of guessed, "Where do you think we are?" "We're in Texas." "No, I think we're in Arkansas." "I'm pretty sure this is Louisiana." So they said, "Well, that's Texarkana." And they put a town there, and we lived there. They call it the tornado belt because they have a lot of tornadoes down through the area. And one day I was teaching a class in a house. I was doing some of doing some early intervention work, and all of a sudden the windows began to rattle. The walls, you could just see them morphing a little bit, and the roof was just, I'm standing there, I go, "Oh," and now I hear it. "Oh, it's a freight train. You guys put this building right next to the train tracks, didn't you?" And the workers there said, "There ain't no train around here." And about then we heard the whistles for the tornado, right? And here we found out later that a tornado had passed right over us, literally over top of the building we were in. Now, you have to understand, the power of a tornado is a lot different than my power. Would you agree with that? My friend Charlie, on that day, he was sitting out in the wood yard for the paper mill, and he was up on top helping to unload with a crane the train cars. There's no way to get out of there. He said it touched down there for about 30 seconds. He said he couldn't even get his seatbelt off. And he said that train, when that tornado come through there, it picked up train cars and spread that wood all over the yard. He said he's just watching it. And he said it took us between 6 weeks and 2 months to clean up what that tornado did in 30 seconds. And he said, and I was so glad it was only there 30 seconds. Does that make sense? So we're talking about the power of God being demonstrated. So you do understand we're not talking about men's natural abilities being polished by God so that you're effective. He is talking about taking a Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, and putting all the power of God inside of you. Some people were marveled when they heard about Elijah being carried off the planet by a whirlwind. A fiery chariot came and separated Elijah between Elijah and Elisha. And then he said he was carried out of sight by a whirlwind. God takes that whirlwind that picked up Elijah and carried him to heaven and puts it in your heart. You understand the power source? It's a little bit different. That he blesses us, that it is his approach towards us. I need to tell you, you're not always going to hear God coming, but you'll know when he's around. And for those of us who live past Pentecost, for those of us that know the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, his presence is always in us, and it's getting out whether you try to confine him or not. Don't try to grieve him. Let him bless other people. Does that make sense? And my day sounds like this. I'm sitting at my house, and I made 3 appointments, and they've been canceled. And I'm sitting there, and I'm saying, Lord, what am I going to do today? And I stop maybe over here for a time of prayer, and I get home, and the phone rings, and it's somebody that are going, are you coming by today or not? I'm like, I didn't know I was supposed to come to your house today. Well, I'm waiting for you. Okay, it'd be nice to know. And so I go to that house, and from that house I find I have 2 more houses to go to, and from there, and then somebody's sitting along the road and I'm able to help them, and somebody's standing at their mailbox and I stop and pray with them. I feel like one of them little pinballs in that pinball machine going bing, 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 bing. Aren't you glad for God's power at work in your life? This is not men figuring out where they need to be. This is Spirit-aided living. This is not manpower. This is Holy Spirit power. These are God's things. This is that song that says, power, 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 wonder-working power. And they didn't just mean it because a light bulb, come on. They meant it because everything was different in their life. Because God was present. It's not just me anymore. It's me plus the Holy Spirit. It's not Roy on his moped. Put, 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 put. Here I come. Gonna bless you today. Put, 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 put. It's me pulling up in the yard going, bump, bump. Where do you want it? You're going, Pastor, that won't even fit in the yard, and say, okay, we got 40 more trucks behind us, so you better put this one somewhere. Here they come. That's the power of God. That's what he wants to distribute through our lives. He wants to help us. Warm summer day. I'm trying to think ahead. Warm summer day. All the windows in the house are open. I went to visit, and I pushed the doorbell, and it rings. I can hear it. Ding dong. Oh, ding dong. I can hear it. Ding dong. That's what I do. Ding. And you can hear the mother yelling, go see who that is. So I hear the steps coming down the hall. Tap, 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 tap. And then they're coming down the stairway. Tap, 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 tap. And the door handle's rattling, rattle, 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 rattle. Pretty soon, starts to open a little bit, and there's a set of eyes peeking around, coming through the crack sideways. And a little kid looks at me and goes, "Mom, it's Jesus!" So I hear her upstairs going, "Who?" And now I hear her coming down the hall. I never heard her on the stairs. I don't know how she got there. She got there, opens the door, and said, "Oh, Pastor, it's you. He said Jesus was here." I know. He is here. Did you know he's with you always? Amen. It's you and Jesus. Is that amazing? That's the power we're talking about. It's not your problem. It becomes my problem with Jesus' help. And if you have given him ownership of your life, it becomes his problem that he will bless you through. Because he knows it is coming. It's amazing to think that we're not going to hear him coming like the freight train anymore. We're not going to hear him coming like this mighty wind, because he has already arrived. He is Lord of our lives. And why doesn't he change things? Well, the wind blows where it wants, where it wishes. You hear the sound of it. You can't tell where it comes from. You don't know where it's going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. That's what our life's supposed to look like. Where are we going? With him. I'm with him. Does that make sense? He'll instruct us. He will direct us. He will help us. And for us who know the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, it always feels like suddenly. I realized why I'm there. Suddenly, I realized why I did that. Suddenly, the suddenlies are because we have been prepared to receive his blessing or to bless others because he's with us. Don't you like how he works? He gives us wisdom and structure, and he goes with us. He is supernatural, and he empowers us. We don't need to be Superman because we are with Jesus. Do you see the difference? Because he knows everything that's going to happen, he can help us to be effective by doing a real little thing. Do you think it'd make a difference if somebody picked up the marble off the floor before you come in and slip and slid with your arms full? Right? Think it would be meaningful if somebody would have changed the rope that was going to break when you pulled on it and broke and it made you fall? Do you understand the difference? When you work with somebody who knows everything, you might want to do what he says, because there are no little things that he'll ask you to do. They're all blessings. Do you appreciate where we are in Pentecost? Do you appreciate what he wants to do? He wants to help us. He wants to bless us. Could you see why I didn't want to just quit here or cram in another 4 or 5 pages in here? So we're going to keep working on this. And knowing that he, in the meantime, is going to be working on this. We want him to touch us like he touched Mount Sinai. We want him to fill us like that cloud filled the mountain. And then everybody looks at us, they're going to go, "What's wrong with you?" And actually, they're going to find out it's not what's wrong with us, it's what's right with us. It's how God intended us to live. Can you imagine us being in here and all those bulbs were out? We've been in here so long, we didn't even know they were supposed to glow. We come in here and flip the switches and nothing ever happened. And somebody come in here, an electrician goes, "You know, I can make them lights come on if you want." "What? Those are lights?" The Holy Spirit wants us to be turned on, doesn't he? It requires power, doesn't it? And that's what we're waiting for, his power to be resident in our lives. So I thought the best thing we could do is celebrate that this is available. This is part of the new covenant. Not just that a man can be saved, but a man can be filled by the Holy Spirit. And so we participate with Christ. He fulfilled the Passover, said, "I'm the Passover lamb." He also said that it is better for you if the Comforter comes, because he will bless you. It's the power of God resident in your life. It is the blessed gospel that we get to preach. Let's partake of communion. Chris, would you help us? Bob, would you come and assist, please? If you'd like to receive communion today, I invite you to stand. If you're not able to stand, just acknowledge that you want these guys to serve you, and they will serve you whether you could stand or not. All who are welcome, this is an open communion. All who want to be served may be served. I'm going to be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I do ask that you would hold the bread and the cup till all have been served, and then we will partake together. And if after you receive the cup and the bread, if you would be seated, that way I know all who want to be served have been served. For I received from the Lord that which I have also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. If we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. You see the instructions, and we try to do as best we can to interpret them to a modern era. Let's thank him for what we hold. Lord, thank you for these elements, for this unleavened wafer that has been broken, for this fruit of the vine that has been given to us, that has been squeezed and crushed so that it might be available to all of us today. Thank you for the reminder. You too have been broken. You too were crushed so that you might give us a new covenant, a new blessing, that you would be with us forever. Thank you for the promise, the provision. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take and eat, the symbol of the body which is broken for you. In remembrance, Christ died for you. This cup is the new covenant. It's to remind us of the shed blood of Christ. Drink this in remembrance. Christ died for you. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Father, we pray that your peace would rest upon us, that you would empower us to be your witnesses, that the world would see the Holy Spirit working in us, through us, for your honor and glory. May we go from this place so that your will can be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray this for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.